And I'm alcoholic, and I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you, Larry, for asking me to speak, and congratulations to all you folks that took cakes. That's a lot of time, and I'd like to thank my friends for coming out, and so, if you're new, I'm not, like, an expert at alcoholism, I'm not a doctor, I'm nothing special. I'm an alcoholic that desperately needed to quit drinking and was able to do it through Alcoholics Anonymous up to this point. But like my friend says, you know, the night's not over, right? So he always reminds me of that fact. And so I don't know. I was born July 25th, 1958 in San Diego. And like you, my parents were salt of the earth, really hardworking people, and they drank, like my dad drank, and gin. Came home from work and drank gin, a couple of cocktails, and then stopped. And they knew, like, you know that thing that says you know when to say when or whatever? They knew when to say when. And they would, I can remember them talking about how, like, you know, no, I think I've had enough. And I grew up in I grew up in a loving environment, and I grew up kind of on the water in Point Loma area, and I like to tell the thing. I remember when I was a kid, and for Christmas I got a gas airplane. You know, they're electric now, but it was a gas airplane. It has the wires attached to it, and you start up this little motor. It has a really, like, loud, high-pitched thing, and you learn how to fly it, and you spin around, and I can remember doing that at the Little League field by my house on a sunny day during Christmas vacation, and the sun was shining, everything's green, it was right after it rained, and just feeling completely free and not having a worry in the world, and being this, like, you know, 10 or 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid or whatever, but just flying this gas plane around and around and being completely at peace. And at some point in my life, I can remember, like, that feeling that way. And but I didn't feel that way all the time. And I was in eighth grade, and I came home from school, and it was a day just like any other day. And I went into the kitchen, and I grabbed something to eat, and for some reason, I went into this cabinet that was my dad's liquor cabinet, and there was some iced tea-looking stuff, and I poured some of it in a cup, and there was some, like, clear water-looking stuff that I poured it in a cup. I poured all the stuff in a cup, and I just started drinking it. And it smelled awful, and I didn't like the way it tasted, and it was kind of like drinking paint thinner or something. And I liked it. I liked it. And I went in, and I did that a bunch of times. I did that, like, a bunch of times, and these guys have heard this a million times, and I went out in the garage where, like, kids hung out. You know, like, when I was a kid, I grew up, I could walk out my front door, and there would be, like, 10 kids to play with. There was just a neighborhood with a group of kids, and we all kind of got along, and there was one odd kid, and I walked out, and my brother's friend said, "Look it, Dan's drunk," and I was a kid, and I'm all wobbling, and I go, "Yeah, I'm drunk." And I thought, you know what, I like it. I'm drunk, and this is good. And I went out, and I was a peaceful kid, you know, like I didn't have anything against anybody. And I went and I bullied and beat up the odd kid, the guy that couldn't defend himself. And I from that point on, I liked drinking. And that was my first drink. And you know, and like I didn't, I became, I don't know when, but like soon thereafter, I became a daily drinker, and I would drink, you know, I would have nerve attacks and stuff. Like I was always nervous, and I was thinking, like my thoughts were kind of dominated about like what you were thinking about what I was thinking, or about what you were thinking about me, or, you know, like I had a preoccupation with what other people were thinking about me, and if I looked a certain way or whatever, and they call that self-centeredness, and I get it now, and I call it untreated alcoholism, and so I had untreated alcoholism as a young kid, and I have kids that are that age now, and I don't know. That's a whole nother, that's another meeting, I guess. And, so I was, as I started drinking, it seems like the stuff that, like the calm, the stuff like when the kid was flying, the peaceful kid was flying, the airplane round and round was peaceful. It seemed like a lot of that went away. As I, the more I drank, the less of that I had. And I just needed relief. And like alcohol for me started becoming about, not about like I want to get hammered and get really drunk and just feel the euphoria of a lot of alcohol, but I just want some medicine. I need some medicine to get me out of the way that I'm thinking and the way that I'm feeling. Because, you know, it's a big burden to think that everybody's looking at you and thinking about you all the time. And I needed relief from all that. And I just would, you know, when you're a young kid, you got to go and wait. You know, you got to, like, have a, you got to hang out with other kids that have the same problem you do and have parents that have liquor or have big brothers that will buy beer or whatever. And you guys, I don't need to tell you about it, but I did the stuff that teenage alcoholics do. And I got arrested a couple of times, and I had to go to drug counseling like it was at the high school I went to. I had to go to the drug counselor, and he played football with my dad, and it was a train wreck. And, you know, like a kid of that age needs a drink before he goes in and talks to this guy, because the thing that was hard about that is they want to know how you feel. And I wasn't really into talking about how I felt, you know, because I didn't like how I felt, and I sure the hell wasn't going to tell you about how I felt, you know, when I was that age. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, talking about those feelings is enough to make you need some alcohol. And, you know, and I can remember sitting in that little room and just being really quiet and sweating and going, oh, when's this going to be over? And So I drank for relief. You know, I needed the relief. I didn't drink to run away from circumstances or things like that. I drank because of what was going on in my head. And I, at this point, you know, like I'm probably in high school and probably like in 11th grade or something, and I'm drinking a lot. Like I'm drinking probably every other day. And weekends I'm blacking out. And I'm hanging out with kids that were blacking out on weekends and doing the same thing I was doing. And those guys are not alive anymore. Like, none of them are alive anymore. They're all dead. And, you know, and they've been dead a long time. You know, it's like it's, well, I'll get to that later. But but the main thing is like, what I really need is I need the medicine. I need to have something secret. I need something so that I can sleep at night. And alcohol did it for me. And I tried a lot of other stuff, and I liked it, but it wasn't like alcohol. You know, alcohol does it. Alcohol is what squares me away in between the ears. And the thing that kind of like prolonged my drinking career a little bit as I got involved in some athletic stuff, and I liked it and I wanted to be good at it. And they basically said that you're not good enough to do this. And I'm a stubborn guy, man. And I mean, don't tell me that. And so like I went out to prove them wrong, and I did. I mean, I and they said, you little kid, you know, you proved us wrong. And you know, that's the kind of thing, like when you have a inferiority complex, that's what you need, and you need a lot of that. And on that front, you know, like on the athletic stuff, it's like, you know, you get where you need to hear it all the time, and if you're not hearing all the time, you quit, you know. And that's kind of what happened to me. But alcohol for me became about punishment and reward. And it's like, if I'm going to go do this stuff and I'm going to work this hard in the afternoon and the evening and I'm going to have my ass kicked that way, by God, I'm going to have some alcohol, and I deserve it after all. And so it kind of became about punishment and reward too, and that's a big part of my drinking, is about I deserve to be rewarded I'm entitled, and I know that like it's a problem for everybody else, and so a big problem for everybody else, and a problem for me. But by God, I'm entitled to it, and that entitled thing had pretty near almost killed me. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I was a bad student. And like to this day, this company that I work for said, you know, we'd like to send you to school. And I'm like, no, I'll do what I'm doing. And I'm not going back to school. And that's worked to my benefit, actually. But so I was a bad student, and what happened was I was able to get into a junior college and study and get into like a 4-year school, and I was able to do well, you know, like, and you know, because I'm stubborn, and like I'm you know, if I put my mind to it, I can do well. And they told me at the 2-year school, they said, you know, you're probably not smart enough to go to the 4-year school. And I thought, well, you know what, I've heard that before, and that's kind of that's right in my wheelhouse when you tell me I can't do it. And so I went to a 4-year school, and that's when I went to a 4-year school, and I kind of turned 21, or I got old enough to go into bars and all that, kind of all at the same time, and I was able to get alcohol whenever I wanted. And that was kind of like the beginning of the end. And somebody talked about like the date that you crossed the line. I mean, I was already alcoholic, already had the disease, already had the illness. But in terms of the consumption of alcohol, that's when for sure I was across the line, because no matter what life threw at you, as long as you could get a half pint of pop-off vodka, you were going to be all right. And I always carried one right here in my left sock, and all the time. And, you know, when I walked, you could hear something strange, and that was a pop-off vodka in my sock. And people would come to me, like these college kids would drink, you know, like these college kids would come to me and they'd say, what, did you get hammered last night? And I'd look at them funny and they're like, no, I didn't. Like for me, and they go, you smell like you got hammered last night. And it's like, no, it's just another day in my life. And wasn't anything unusual for me. And I don't know, they didn't really understand it. I didn't really understand them. They could go out and get... you know, they'd go out and drink beer heavily and have a good time, but they knew kind of when to say when. And what happened to me is what happened to you. And what happened was eventually I got addicted to alcohol, and I would get violently ill if I didn't have alcohol in my system. And I was able to graduate. I graduated with a 1.875 grade point average. And you can do that. There's a way arithmetically. I'll tell you. They say that you can't go below 2, but you can, because your last semester they can't kick you out because you graduate. And that's the trick, you know. And, so I did. And I got a degree in, just by the, you know. So I don't know. What was I talking about? Oh. Yeah, I had to drink. And what happened was I wanted to not drink anymore. And I knew that, like, I would never have anything decent in my life. Like, it was, the evidence was in. And I'd get violently ill if I didn't have alcohol in the morning. And I didn't want to drink alcohol in the morning. And I had no choice. And And I was a guy that had, you know, I'd achieved stuff through willpower and exertion of will. And I thought, well, you're just going to have to do this with drinking. And you just got to, you know, summon the necessary willpower. And so I did that. And I'd say, well, I'm not going to drink today because drinking is going to kill me. It's bad for me. I'll never have anything decent. And anybody would know I have to quit drinking. And I'd sit there and I'd look at the clock. And the clock would go like tick, tick. And the thing is I couldn't live without drinking alcohol. The feelings that were in me and the stuff my head was telling me was absolutely unbearable to somebody who could like endure a little bit of pain. I mean, and so I would I knew drinking was a bad thing and I was going to quit. And I just needed to get like a plan on a piece of paper. I just needed to kind of collect my thoughts and. I'm just going to go get one half pint of pop-off, and I'm going to collect my thoughts, and I'll be done. You know, I'll be done. And I'd go get a half pint of pop-off, and I'd come back home. I was living with my mom and dad, right? You know, like everybody does when they're getting sober. And I'd turn on the TV, and I'd watch an episode of Leave It to Beaver or something. And I thought, well, so much for this plan, you know. I'm going to... I'm going to quit drinking. Quit drinking's a really good idea, and I'm going to do it, but it's just not going to be today. And I did that every day. That's the way I live my life. I did that every day. And I got to the point where I was getting really, really ill if I didn't have vodka. And I went down to the central office of Alcoholics Anonymous. I kind of knew a little bit about AA. You know what I did? I read World Book Encyclopedia. I grabbed World Book Encyclopedia, and I looked up alcoholic. I was shaking really bad. And it said, you know, alcohol, it basically said, like, alcoholics are people who, even though it's really injurious to them and kills them, they continue to drink. And nobody really knows much about it. See alcoholism. And then I saw alcoholism, it says, see alcoholic. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of me. And I went down to the AA office, the central office, and I grabbed a pamphlet, and it said, so you think you're different, or do you think you're different, or something. And I read it, and in that pamphlet, there was people that were gay, and people that were straight, and there were men, and there were women, and there were priests, and there were executives, and there were plumbers, and there was everybody in there. And they all said the same thing. I had a worse drinking problem than you, and I didn't think anything would work. And I went to AA, and now I'm happy. And so I thought, well, I probably ought to go to AA. And I did. And I was young. I was 24 years old, and I went to, it was a Friday. It was hot. And I didn't drink that whole day, and I went to a young people's meeting that night, and because I was young, and there was like, and I got there, and it was a bunch of old guys, and I went to the, and so I don't know what they talked about. You know what they read? I'll tell you, the thing I remember is they read more about alcoholism, and I understood that, and I understood that was bad news for me. Like, more about alcoholism is not good news for me, and neither's the first step. So I don't know. Then they were talking. I couldn't tell you. I thought, this is some strange. They have a kind of language in AA, and they're talking that kind of language. And at the end of the, they were all standing around the circle, and like, these two guys, these two grown men, grabbed a hold of my hands at the end of the thing, and it just thought, oh man, I mean, what have I got myself into with these guys? And said the Lord's Prayer, and I thought, you know what, for a that's not for me. And but I told these guys, I said, I don't really know what you do here, but I got to go. I think you probably ought to know. I got to go get a half pint of pop-off. And they said, do you want a drink? And I go, no, I want to quit drinking, but I can't. And they, I go, every, you know, and I didn't tell them this, but every cell in my body was demanding alcohol. And I couldn't deal with it. And they said, we think we can help you. And I said, well, good. I'd like some help. And they, I go, how are you going to help me? And they said, well, we go to coffee after the meeting. And I go, oh, coffee after the meeting. Every cell in my body is demanding alcohol. And like, going to coffee with these guys is going to help. And I thought, well, I'll try it. And I went to coffee with these guys. And these poor guys have heard this 1,000 times. But I went to coffee with these guys, and they all talked, and it seemed to kind of make sense. And they were worse alcoholics than me, and somehow they didn't drink anymore through this thing called AA. And we were outside, and they were in the parking lot, this gravel parking lot down in Mission Beach, and they said, and I said, well, what do we do now? And they go, well, you know, it's 11:30. We go home. And I go, well, what do I do? And they said, they said, kid, you better pray your ass off. And I thought, okay. And they all went in their cars and left. And they were gone. And I was standing there in the parking lot. And it was just me. And I thought, well, you know what? I better pray my ass off. And put my hands in my pocket. And I walked over to the boardwalk. And I walked from Crystal Pier to that jetty and back all night long. And I just said, I just clenched my jaw and go, please, God, don't let me drink. Please, God, don't let me drink. Please, God, don't let me drink. And so what happened was, the sun came up the next morning, and I hadn't drank. And, like, I felt awful, but, like, I didn't drink. I didn't drink, and I was impressed. Like, I was impressed with God, I was impressed with prayer, and I was impressed with Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I'd been trying forever. I'd been trying really, really hard. and I couldn't even put a dent in this thing. And I went to AA, and I held hands with these sappy guys, and I went to coffee with these AA people, and I prayed, and like I didn't drink, and I thought, you know, as bad as I felt, I this thing works. This thing, like, it has kept me sober a whole day. And I started, you know, and they gave the short version of it is, well, this is, actually should be the long version, right? Time's ticking. And what happened was, I went home and my mother told me, she said, you know, honey, you're an alcoholic. We know that. But you know, there's other stuff too. Like it's more than just this drinking thing. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to AA and it's not more than just this drinking thing. I'm going to get a handle on this drinking thing and my problems are going to be solved. And, so I'm about 2 weeks sober. And these guys gave me people in AA, they said, get phone numbers and use them. And I called a couple of these guys because I was a couple of weeks sober, and my condition was far, far worse than I thought. And my mom was absolutely right. There was a lot worse than me than just the drinking thing. And I had untreated alcoholism really, really bad. And I never want to be in that condition again where I'm having to try not to drink. And that's what they call being dry. And I won't last long in that situation. And I actually got desperate enough where, like, I called these guys. I would call these AA people. They say call them. And I would call them, and I'd say, is Bill there? And they'd say, sure, let me go get him. And I'd hang up the phone. And then I'd call them again the next day. I'd say, like, is Bill there? And then I'd wait till Bill would say hello. Then I'd hang up the phone. And it took me a while to, like, talk to Bill or whoever Bill was. And I'll tell you, I was about 3 weeks sober, and I was calling. I go, can I meet with you because this is unbearable. I can't take this anymore. My head's turning against me, and I'm trying to not drink, but I know I'm going to, and I can't live in this condition, and it's too painful for me. And I want to not drink, but I don't think I can. And they said, sure. And, you know, what I learned was, is what this guy said is, can you read? And I said, yeah. And he said, read the doctor's opinion and call me back. And I prayed and I read the doctor's opinion. And I have never been the same since I read the doctor's opinion. You know, it gave me an idea. It wasn't just an idea. It gave me, like, down to, like, my gut and my heart, like, the nature of my illness and the nature of my condition and what's going to happen to me if I try to fix it on my own. And I called this guy back, and he and other people, they were just kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, I was just a run-of-the-mill alcoholic to them, and I wanted to, and I got great comfort in that. That, like, you know what? You just got a typical case of, you're just a bad alcoholic. And they said, you need a miracle, but we're in the miracle business. And I'm just like, oh, God, thank you for that. And I said, well, what do I need to do? And they said, well, have you been listening? And I go, well, yeah. And they say, they talk about it at the front start of every meeting. And if you want to stay sober, you're going to have to take the steps. And we're in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't diagnose anybody as being alcoholic, but in your case, we're willing to make an exception. You're a bad alcoholic, and, like, unless you do the stuff we've done, you're gonna die. And like a bad, you know, like a young death. And they scared me. I'm like, well, really, do I? I mean, I remember just being completely freaked out about it. And they were laughing, you know, like, you know, there's another new guy. Just another new guy, another pigeon here. And, you know, it's like, but this is my life you're talking about. And they're like, And I found a guy that, I left a meeting. And I called, and I thought I was going to drink, and I called Bill Miller. And I said, I think I'm going to drink. And he goes, well, you better go back to that meeting and hope there's some stragglers left that are, the meeting was over, that are like cleaning up and stuff, and ask them for help. And I went back to the meeting, and there was two guys standing like on the outside thing. And I remember one of them gave me a business card and wrote his home phone number on it. He wrote home on the back of his business card and gave it to me. And I looked at it, and I go, is your name Home? So it tells you where I was coming from. But the short version is the other guy. I go, look, I need help. I think I'm going to drink and blah, blah, blah. And the other guy, he goes, well, this guy will help you. Home told me that this guy will help me. And he's still sober. I run into the guy from time to time. And this guy was like a really good AA. This guy said, yeah, I'll help you. Are you willing to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol? Like right there in the church. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, come to my house. And I thought, oh, man, what is this? I mean, holding hands, going to some guy's house and all this. And then I thought, well, you know what? The alternative is drinking. And I go, well, I'll try it this way. And this guy was a worse alcoholic than me. He drank longer than me, and he drank more than me, and he hadn't had a drink for like 9 months. And I thought, man, I'm just going to do what this guy did. And this guy's name was Tom S., and he's not sober anymore, and he basically saved my life. He was there at a time when, and he spoke in a way that I could understand, and he would listen to me up to a point, but he would say stuff like, I was writing an inventory, and, and I think this is important. It's important for me. And he said, are you willing to turn your will and your life over to the care of God? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, well, here, take my hand. And I'm like, you mean like right here? And he started walking towards the door. And he's like, I thought you wanted to get sober, and like open the door. And I mean, he did not mess around with me. And I said, okay, fine. And, he told me, so we did a third step. And he said, let's read what it says here. And it says, it followed at once by a vigorous, and he said, you know what at once means? It means right now. And I would call him. I'd go to the Alano clubs, and I'd hear people say, how they're feelings. And I'd call him, and he'd come, because I didn't want to write. And he would say, I don't believe in people feeling feelings. I just believe there's guys like you don't want to write. Four step, and bam, and hang up the phone on me and hurt my tender feelings. And but he saved my life. He saved my life. And I had this thing where I wasn't going to do, like I would write this stuff down and I'd go along with this AA stuff that much. But like I wasn't going to read that stuff to anybody. And looking back, there's nothing in there that mattered anyway. But, I was walking around Balboa Park Golf Course around that short nine. And I'd finished the fourth step, and I didn't have enough guts to read the fifth step, and I didn't know what to do. And I suddenly had this huge panic start in my stomach, and I was sweating, and I knew there was something like really, really wrong. And the thought came to me that's not of me, a thought like that God gave me was that, there's two ways to go here. You can either do this your own way and get drunk, or you could do it the AA way and call your sponsor and read this stuff to him and stay sober and have a good life. And which one are you going to do? And like I dropped everything and I called this guy, and he was home, and he said, come on over and bring it with you. And I went over there, and like I read, as meaningless as it seems now, it was the most important thing I'd ever done. And an hour or two later, I was done, and I didn't feel like I was a completely free man, but I sure was a different guy than when I started that. And he told me, he said, are you willing to have all, he said, there's this stuff on here. Are you willing to have God remove this? And I said, sure. And he said, okay, let's say another prayer. And I didn't argue with him about holding his hand and saying a prayer then, because like by that time, I was a believer. Like I'm like, holding hands with these guys and saying prayers is a good thing. And okay, the 10 minutes left, so. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So I said a prayer. And he was again like, you need to make this list. You need to not wait. You need to make it now. And I made a list of people that I had harmed. And it's a strange thing. I had a pretty short list. You know, I made some other ones. And I'll tell you about this Tom guy, though. I showed this list to him, and I go, you know, I stole a bottle of tequila from that store down the street. I don't need to, like, pay them back, do I? And he's like, what are you? Are you kidding me? You need to pay them back right now. And and he saved my life. And so he told me, he said, you know what, there's going to be a point, it's like riding a bicycle. And taking the program and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, he goes, you're going to find a day where you're doing this stuff on your own with no help from anybody else other than God. And it's like riding a bike as a kid. You know, a kid, you have training wheels, and your dad's holding on to the seat and everything. But, like, at a certain point, like, you're riding on your own, and you're free. Just like that kid that had that little airplane going around. And I can remember paying people back and talking to people that I loved about how I was sorry, and that being sorry didn't fix anything. But what did they think that I could do? I'd like to hear what they thought I could do to make it right. And I can remember leaving there. And, like, being the same guy as that kid that was, like, as a young kid, free of all kinds of worry and stuff. And I believed in, like, the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the thing about drinking or not drinking and how am I going to drink or not drink and all that stuff and thinking of all that stuff, that got removed. That got removed, and I didn't have to worry about it anymore. It's like I'd been trying headlong. I'd been trying to solve this problem on my own, and I couldn't get anywhere. And I went and I did this sappy stuff they told me to do in AA, and it worked great. And I was able to get a job. Like, during that time, I was able to get a job and actually go and do this. And like, I got a job, like, when I was working with that Tom guy. And, like, I've worked for that same company to this day. And it's worked out really well. And so, I don't know. What happened was I continued to go on with the steps, and that I was left with me, and there was, it's good news and bad news, I've got enough of you. And so I had a few years sober, and I'd done everything I needed to do, you know, that I was supposed to do. I was working with guys, and I'd taken the steps, and I was active in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was single. I didn't have a lot of stuff to do, and I started having really bad panic attacks and really bad anxiety, and, like, all that stuff, like, that I had when I was a teenager came back, and I thought, what am I going to do? And I went, and people in Alcoholics Anonymous said, you know, you need to consult people in medicine. You know, this is like, there's something wrong with you, like. And so I went to doctors, and this was kind of back before they had some stuff, and they're like, you know, we don't know. I mean, we're either going to give you tranquilizers or we're going to put you in the hospital. And I was talking to one of these guys, and I came up with this thing, and I said, you know, and I don't know where this thought came from, and I said, what about hypnosis? And this guy goes, you know, that's a really good idea. And so the point I'm getting at is, like, I had all these really bad anxiety problems, and I went to this hypnotist guy, and he taught me how to meditate, and he taught me how, like, the importance of doing the 11th step daily. And, like, what happened was a lot of the stuff went away. And it didn't go away the first day or the first, you know, week or the first month, but, like, over time it went away. And I was working, I had, like, 4 or 5 years in that guy Tom got drunk. And he told me, he said, you know, you need to write your sobriety date in your big book, and you need to write the name of the guy that you're going to work with if something happens to me as a sponsor underneath that. And I had a guy's name under there, and I found out Tom was drunk, and I called this other guy, and I said, would you sponsor me? He goes, I'll do be your temporary sponsor. And that led to the guy I have now. I've had the same sponsor for 47 years. And the reason I'm here is probably because of him. I mean, he's saved my ass. I mean, he's helped me quite a bit. And but the point I'm getting at is, like, me sitting still in the morning is a very, very important thing. I don't talk a whole lot about, but I sit still every morning because it's tough being alone. You know, these people that I got sober with, some people, and they were gregarious, and they were not a glum lot, you know. And I hung around with some people in the fellowship, and there was a girl, Sally B., And Sally B was married to Billy B, and they were crazy. And Billy B used to say that Billy Bedard used to say the only day you really got to worry about is Bastille Day. Bastille Day is a bad day for alcoholics, and he's just joking around. And I went home and I looked up when Bastille Day was. I took him completely serious, but it's like, oh geez. And he's something like letting prisoners out of jail, but you know, she used to talk about your head. She said, you know, you're alone with the enemy. You can't be alone with the enemy. And with the enemy, what she's talking about is untreated alcoholism. And that's what happens to us when we don't get the treatment. And what the treatment is the treatment's like here now. It's like this is not some kind of anomaly, some kind of different thing. It's like there's recovery going on, like right here, right now in this room. There's a God that we don't understand, like right here, right now in this room. And it works really, really good for alcoholics like me. And what it's like today is really good. You know, I've had experiences that have been absolutely indescribable. I never held a baby. Like, I'd never held an infant. And I was 39 years old, and I was in a hospital, and my wife was laying there, and a doctor came over and goes, here. And there I was. It was my first, it was my daughter, my oldest. And, you know, like, I'd never even held a baby before. I looked at her, and I looked at these little eyes, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and, like, you talk about never being the same, you know. And I've had all kinds of really incredible stuff. When I had, like, 5 years, I became really close friends with a guy in AA. He's probably one of the best AAs that I've ever met. I mean, this guy is about service and about, I mean, this guy's incredible. And he was a really, really avid rock climber. And he used to drag me along with him, and he taught me how to rock climb and stuff. And it's like I've had some incredible experiences, and I've done like all kinds of different stuff. And you know, through like sitting still in the morning, it's like I've been able to use the creative part of my head and turn off the other part. And you know, God has just been incredibly I'm not here because I'm a good guy or I'm smart. I'm here because of grace. I'm here because somebody up there has taken really, really good care of me, and my friends have looked after me, you know. And if you're new, this is not some kind of real out-of-the-box thing. This is a pretty, like, typical story of alcoholism and recovery. I mean, this happens to people all the time. And you know, if you're new and you're a bad alcoholic and you can't quit drinking and you want to quit drinking really, really bad, I would do exactly the same stuff I've done. And that's just kind of the standard Alcoholics Anonymous out of the book. And he just held up the sign that said 2 minutes left. And I don't know. I think I'm kind of done. Alcoholics Anonymous, I'll tell you. Alcoholics Anonymous is the best thing that ever happened to me, and that's a fact. That's not true if I'm, you know, it's not any less true if I'm having a bad day or having a good day. Alcoholics Anonymous is the best thing that ever happened to me. Alcoholics Anonymous isn't some abstract thing. Like, Alcoholics Anonymous is you guys. And I just want to thank you for, like, giving me another day. All right.